They are normally controlled by radio-type signals that are broadcast from their underground complex. Some of the telemeter ships also have onboard intelligence and can pilot themselves and make a decision on their own. All of the little reconnaissance ships can be directed and influenced by telepathy. The 9-foot version has room for one passenger and can be flown manually if need be. The telemeter ships are used mostly to monitor all of our different languages, for this is a particularly interesting study for them. They have recorded all of the languages that have been spoken on our world for thousands of years, and continue to monitor our thinking processes to better understand the logic of why we live the way we do. It is very puzzling to them, for instance, how we can live in such a corrupt and negative environment and yet do nothing about it. Communication on the ships is by a process similar to our radio, but the signal travels in a different manner. The signal is attached to faster-than-light particles called tachyons and is projected through null time, so it arrives at its destination almost instantly. In this way, messages and signals can be sent across vast distances of space and be received very quickly. Beam me up, Scotty. We have all watched Star Trek as the captain and crew are beamed down to a planet below from the transporter room. A very similar process is used to bring people up into the beam ship. Special matter converters on board the ship can break the matter of the body down into fine matter, and then reassemble it inside the ship. In the case of Billy's contacts, the beam ship would usually position itself overhead, perhaps as high as 3,000 feet, and then within an instant he would find himself standing inside of the pit of the ship. There is no discomfort or feeling of any kind. It is also possible to lift someone up into the ship by using an anti-gravity type of device in which they are very slowly raised up through the air. The wedding cake ship in 1981, the Palladians were working with a new technology and had designed a special kind of ship that operated on a different scientific principle. It was designed with a special drive system that did not necessitate speeding up to tremendous speeds to make the hyperspace jump possible, like in the little beam ship, but instead could make the jumps while almost standing still. Because of its unusual design, it has often been called the wedding cake ship, for it is round and has a ring of small metal balls around the ship, giving it the appearance of a decorated wedding cake. A race of people who are friendly with the Palladians, called Timers, pronounced Tims, had discovered long ago that within the three-dimensional part of a galaxy there existed corridors or canals where material particles could not exist. These canals were out of normal space and time and could be entered at slow speeds. Once the technology was worked out on how to find the canals and enter them, the ship could move within that galaxy and re-enter the material realm at almost any point within the same galaxy, and very little time at all would have passed. The way it looked in the material dimension was that the ship would simply blink out as it entered these null time canals, and seemingly blink back in when it re-entered. The canals only exist within a galaxy, limiting the distance of the jumps, for there is a field of energy that forms around a galaxy that is used to facilitate this process, and this doesn't work in free space between galaxies. This means that unlike a beam ship, which has to move 94 million miles out into space before moving into hyperspace, this new craft can simply dematerialize and move itself into these canals and jump to where it wants to go, a much faster process that appears almost magical. This new process was just being learned by the Palladians, who understood very little about it, but could at least build and operate the drive systems that had been designed for them by the Timers. The technology had been used to build a very large mothership, but this was the first time it had been tried in a smaller vehicle. The test ship appears in the photos taken by Billy to be smaller than the normal beam ship. From my knowledge of the surroundings where the photos were taken, I would estimate that the ship was only about 12 to 15 feet in diameter. Billy only saw the ship on one occasion, but was allowed to take photos and a movie film of this experimental ship in 1981. This was the last time he ever saw the wedding cake ship, and these were the last photos taken of any Palladian craft. The Palladian mothership is shaped like a large egg. This is the first of its kind in the Palladian fleet. The mothership. The technology for the wedding cake ship was downsized from the design for the largest and newest spacecraft built by the Pleiadians. A product of information provided by the timers, this large Galaxy-class ship measures 17,182 meters, or almost 10 miles, in diameter. It was assembled in space and is not designed to be used in a planetary atmosphere. It represents a major breakthrough for the Pleiadians, for it is the first ship of its kind that can bridge the gap between universes. On Earth we would term this giant spacecraft a mothership. The main part of the ship looks like a large egg standing on end, while on the bottom there are three smaller, round sections that are interconnected by huge braces. The three smaller sections have another brace extending out of the top and hooking into the main part of the ship above them. One of the round objects provides a hatch, or hangar, where visitors can store their smaller craft while they are on board the huge city. This is a completely self-contained world capable of providing a home for more than 140,000 people who live on board. Most of these people enjoy living in space and very seldom return to the home planet. Everything is provided for here, including a large area constructed to duplicate the outside conditions found on a planet, such as gardens, lakes, and small mountains so that the inhabitants can commune with nature. Living quarters, school, manufacturing facilities, virtually everything that is needed to sustain life's on board, for the great ship has been designed to be a complete living situation for its crew and is completely self-sustaining. Since the population was so large, they designed huge airways that connected the different parts of the craft in order to move people around the ship. These airways run inside of the huge braces that hook the three smaller sections of the ship to the main body. This allows passengers to easily move from one area of the ship to another. The largest airway extends all the way up the middle of the main part of the craft. This giant open airway allows access to any level of the ship on small floating platforms that are used to move people up and down the airways and make it easy to get around. The air inside of the great mothership contains not only a higher content of oxygen than on Earth, but other elements have also been added that reduce the need for sleep and keep the occupants awake longer. It is very similar to the atmosphere on their home planets. Along with the air, another consideration is the food. Just like on the surface world, the crew of this great ship eat a very light diet of vegetables and fruits. They have engineered the food so that by simply munching on small amounts of these special Y-grown fruits and vegetables, they can reduce the need for sleep to as little as only 4 hours per day, while hunger can be calmed for as long as 90 hours, if necessary. The command center for the great mothership is located at the top of the main body of the ship and is where everything is controlled. Here hundreds of Pleiadians and androids assist in the control of the ship. The androids are created organically by their scientists to do specific tasks. They do not have a spirit as humans do, but are programmed with tremendous intelligence to do certain functions. Most of the functions of running the ships are done by androids, since they are very well suited for this kind of work. They can stay alive for long periods of time, are disease-free, and can be programmed for any kind of work, personality, and character. They are used extensively all throughout the Pleiadian society to handle most of the manual labor and technical work because they can be programmed with very advanced intelligence. The androids do not contain computers as we know them, but their brains would be an extension of the idea of a computer and are organically made from human material grown by their scientists. For spiritual reasons, the Pleiadians do not believe in the idea of cloning, so they have instead advanced the concept of a computer into this level of technology. You can see right through the ceiling of the command center. Even though it is solid, you can see the stars overhead as if you were outside. They have a way of projecting some kind of radiation beam at the ceiling so that you can see through it, causing it to appear invisible. This way everyone working at the command center can see exactly where they are and where they are going, not to mention that the view is spectacular. Visitors from many parts of the universe come together on this great craft, so communication would be a problem without the special language converters that are worn. It can read your mind and pick up your thoughts just before you speak. It then creates the words you need to say in the language you have selected, and causes you to speak it. When you normally learn a language, you practice for weeks and build your vocabulary and learn all the grammar. The converter already knows the language, so it only has to know what you want to say, and then it feeds your mind the knowledge of the language you have selected, and you can speak it. It contains the knowledge of thousands of different languages and allows good communication for the many different species that live and visit there. Time travel. Being the latest in technology, the great ship can move in time, something that is not possible in most of the smaller beam ships. As explained earlier, the older beam ship breaks into hyperspace to move through the vast distances of space. Hyperspace can be utilized in different ways. When the small beam ship breaks into hyperspace, this is a form of time travel where time and space become paralyzed. A better way of saying it might be that time and space push against each other, causing a complete standstill of time and space. Just at that point, timelessness and spacelessness are passed by at immeasurable speeds in a part of a second, without any shift of time in the real world. In effect, this is time travel in stagnant time, whereby the beam ship appears at its destination at the same time it leaves its starting point. For a brief part of a second, it actually exists at its destination and its starting point at the same instant. This process is nothing more than a technically generated dematerialization and rematerialization process, where no time passes because of shifting or distortion. You could say that this is time travel without any time actually passing. In a common time travel into the future, time and space are simply paralyzed and no time passes in the material realm, yet to move and the timeless and cause time to pass in the real world, other factors are necessary. When this is done, time is not paralyzed and there is a shift in the timeless. The ship and its passengers will move forward into the future, skipping through time that cannot be reclaimed. If it were possible to monitor this event on your watch, you would see that for every 5 seconds that pass in normal space, you would move 1 second forward into the timeless. This is made possible by regulating the time between dematerialization and rematerialization by the speed effect, for only in the timeless itself can the shift in time be controlled. The timeless can be broken down into a tremendous number of intervals, which is beyond the complete understanding of the Pleiadians, but they know enough about it to manipulate it. For instance, a single second in the timeless is equal to millions of years in normal space. This means that if the ship would penetrate into the timeless and slow down or stop, they would move so far back in time that they would never again see their home worlds. Just the process of remaining for a few seconds with lowered speed in the timeless would cause many billions of years to pass on Earth. On the return to normal time, Earth would have evolved billions of years and would have disintegrated into dust, while the occupants of the ship would return to normal space and only be a few seconds older. This may all seem fantastic, but it is the way it works. Even the brightest Pleiadian scientists do not fully understand all of the complexities of time and space and are still puzzled by many inconceivable details. They have solved some of the problems and secrets of time and space, but continue to work towards a better understanding. The knowledge and necessary understanding of the technology for passing through the universe has been discovered, but they, too, are only at the first stages of development in these areas and have much to learn. Their current level of science, though, does allow for the possibility for travelers to step into the timeless and experience eternity. The future is not a fixed thing, but merely a projection of events based on the present. Touching eternity. During the jumps in hyperspace, a certain amount of time actually passes in this fine matter dimension. This makes it possible for the Pleiadians to actually hold themselves for a period of time in hyperspace, and while they are out of their material bodies, they make a spiritual bonding with eternity and can return to normal space with full cognition of the event. At one time or another, almost all of the members of the crew have experienced this, and they have their own truth about the existence of the creation and the wonders of spirit that are contained within it. In order to touch eternity, several minutes in the timeless are necessary to make a spiritual connection that will provide a meaningful experience. This will require the time and space be paralyzed while they purposely hold back the rematerialization of the ship for 7 minutes while moving in the timeless for only a millionth part of a second. Because of the difference in the speed of time between hyperspace and the three-dimensional world that we live in, the clock in our normal time will advance by 5 times, which is equal to 35 minutes. One other unusual occurrence that will take place for the crew on the ship is that instead of getting older by 35 minutes, they will actually experience a rejuvenation of 28 minutes. This is because as the ship is in the process of making the leap, it will be held in a state of dematerialization for a period of 7 minutes while not moving in time, so everyone aboard will all have aged 7 minutes. The ability to hold the ship in a dematerialized state for 7 minutes occurs because of very advanced technology which can control the speed effect and keep the ship from slipping in the timeless. Meanwhile, in the normal world, the clock is moving 5 times faster, so time will have advanced by 35 minutes when the ship rematerializes. This means, of course, that on Earth 35 minutes will have gone by on their watches, while only 7 minutes will have gone by on board the ship, so in effect, the aging process has been slowed down by 28 minutes, and the crew have become younger. Here on Earth we are still wondering about creation and what spiritual effect it may have on us. If we were allowed to travel on board the great craft of the Pleiadians while they were holding themselves outside of time to touch the eternal force of creation, we would for the first time in our brief lives feel the real truth of creation and be filled with the understanding of the great eternity that controls all things. Once out of our material bodies and into the timeless, our spirits can sense our connection with creation. By being able to stay there for several minutes, we would slowly become aware of the love and knowledge that is the spiritual force that runs the universe in which we live. Here in creation is the absolute force and truth of all life, the calm, peaceful, and deeply serene feeling of love and togetherness that we are all part of. Here we can sense our connection to the creation and know we are spiritual beings that are a part of all that is happening. For just a few minutes we would only be our spiritual selves without a body, feeling the power and enlightenment of the greatest force of all. There could be no better way to understand who we are and the meaning of our lives than to be in touch with creation directly as a spirit form. A visit from the Pleiades. One night about midnight, after I had been at the Star Center for about 6 weeks, I was walking down the road toward the house and noticed one of the FIGU members standing out in front. He motioned to me to come over and watch the sky. It was a beautiful night high in the hills of Switzerland. The sky was clear with a million stars painted against a black canvas. He didn't speak English very well, but he motioned for me to stand and watch the sky where he was pointing. He pointed to his watch for me to wait just a few minutes, which I did. Soon he raised his hand and pointed towards the eastern sky. I shifted my view to where he was pointing and there it was, rising up from the horizon, a streak of white light moving at a very fast rate. It climbed up steadily and then leveled off and began to race across the night sky in front of us. Appearing as a steady stream of white light, the object was moving considerably faster than anything else I had seen in the sky. It was similar to a shooting star, but rising up instead of falling. Then it took a slight turn and kind of bent right up into the sky and began to blend in with the stars. I was just standing there in amazement when my sky watching partner turned to me and said, "Quetzal." That was the name of one of the Pleiadian pilots who frequently visited Billy. He was apparently leaving the underground base that the Pleiadians still have in Switzerland, and who knows where he was going. I had just seen my first identifiable flying object. Now it was true for me, too. How the universe was created. The summer was turning out to be an even greater experience for me than I had hoped for. I was able to spend a lot of time with Billy and came to better understand this man who had been in touch with human life from other worlds. We would stay up late at night together watching the stars or just talking around the kitchen table. I was a night owl, too, so it worked out well for both of us. He liked to talk and seemed tireless when it came to discussing man's role in the universe. Our conversations would usually end up in the kitchen, which was my favorite spot for listening. Billy was very comfortable there, as it was the center of activity for the whole farm and had a real homey and friendly feel to it. The kitchen was not very big, certainly not spacious enough for the 15 people living there. One end of the room had a doorway leading to the outside and a window over the sink with a view overlooking the valley beyond. The other end of the room had a couple of shelves containing a small radio with pieces of paper piled on top of it, expressly kept there so that people could take notes whenever they had time to sit down and talk to Billy. I usually had my own notebook with me, but in most cases I found myself going for the notepaper on the shelf just like everyone else, because you never knew when Billy would be in a mood to talk. I had just finished painting the garage one afternoon and was in the kitchen cleaning up. Billy was sitting alone at the table, having a cup of his favorite coffee. It was times like this that I could get some questions answered, so I asked him about the shape of the universe and what it looked like. He seemed in a mood to talk, so I grabbed some paper off of the radio and started taking notes. Pleiadian science. To most of us, the universe is some large, unknown area full of galaxies, star clusters, black holes, and light years of endless space. We have no concept of how big the universe might be, its shape, or how it started. Modern science talks of a Big Bang theory, which seems to make sense, only very little is understood about it, and most of us would agree that there is some kind of God force, or creational energy, that must be responsible for life as we know it. While science is busy trying to unlock the logic of the material universe, our spiritual leaders are trying to better understand the role of creational energy. Seldom do these two schools of thought agree or understand each other, but eventually they must come to a common understanding, for the material world and the spiritual world are both part of the universe that we live in, and one cannot exist without the other. In order to better understand how our universe came about, let's start with the basis of understanding of Pleiadian science. They have not only been able to travel outside of time to explore the very beginnings of our universe, but have traveled beyond its barriers and learned from other races far more advanced than themselves about the infinite evolution of the creation. Our universe is inside of a much larger realm of creational energy that the Pleiadians call the Absolutum. There are 10 to the 49th power, this 10 with 49 zeros, number of universes in this large and most incomprehensible realm of spiritual energy. They have only been able to experience traveling in one other universe so far, but they have some understanding that each universe seems to be slightly different in size and development, yet are similar in shape. It is believed that the Absolutum is within an even greater creational force, but nothing is known of that. The spiritual energy of the Absolutum is called a creation. A creation, remember, does not exist in material form. It is intelligence in a form commonly called spirit. It is a non-material living form of life made up of the spiritual energy of all of the life forms that are within it. This large body of creational energy, called the Absolutum, is a living life form itself and must continually strive to evolve. Evolution is learning. The process of thinking creates energy that forms into logical sequences of thought and creates knowledge. As knowledge becomes more complex, it turns into wisdom learned through experience. It is the wisdom learned from experience that creates spiritual growth. In order for spiritual energy to evolve, it must create material life forms that develop energy through thought engaged in experience. This means that the creational spiritual energy of the Absolutum knows that it must create material life forms in order to continue its growth through evolution. These material life forms are called universes. Here is how the process works. Every living form in the universe is a part of the creation and contributes to its evolution. First, the creational energy of the Absolutum has a thought to continue its growth by creating a new material universe. This thought is concentrated until it becomes a unique consciousness of its own. If we could see the energy of this small thought, we would discover that it is shaped like an egg. At this point, the small thought is floating in the large pool of spiritual energy in the Absolutum between the already existing universes that are there. This small thought has contained within it the idea that it would like to create a material universe. This little thought takes up no more room in the Absolutum than a flea. The creational spiritual energy of the Absolutum is doing this so that it can continue to evolve, as all living things must do. It has taken a small part of itself and started a new creational spirit that will develop a material universe. For clarity, let's call the creational energy of the Absolutum the original creation, and the new thought that is the beginning of our new universe will be called the new creation, or simply the creation. The spiral. After years of thinking, our new creation is still a small thought that is reasoning and figuring out what it must do to grow. Since thought is energy in motion, a close examination would reveal that it is moving in a spiral formation. The spiral is a multidimensional pathway that directs the flow of the energy of this small thought. This spiral pattern was naturally created by the original creation when the thought was formed, and it will control the flow of energy in the new creation forever. A multidimensional spiral pattern would be impossible to draw here in our three-dimensional world, but the drawing below can give you an idea of how it might look. The spiral, more. The spiral pattern that energy follows in the creation. It dictates the flow of energy that contains the spiritual knowledge of the creational universe. The Soha. The knowledge contained within our small thought is oscillating along the path of the spiral in a pulsating fashion. It is growing in intelligence very slowly. After billions of years, the small egg-shaped energy spiral has evolved its understanding of how to continue its growth and explodes into a bright light called the Soha. Along with some help from the original creation that started it, the tiny new creation has expanded to the size it needs to be in order to develop the material universe. It has literally pushed its way in among the many other universes in the Absolutum and taken over the area it will need to develop the new material universe. There are no stars or material matter at this point, only spiritual fine matter that has the wisdom and knowledge it has learned through billions of years of reason and a little help from the original creation that started it. The bright Soha now appears between the many universes in the Absolutum and has just contributed to the evolution of the original creation and to the new creation by virtue of its experience. The Soha has taken its position, and has added itself to the 1049 number of universes that currently exist there. Our new creation will always be a combination of spiritual energy and material matter, but at this point only the spiritual matter exists, for it is still evolving to the point where it understands how to create matter. This is a slow process and takes trillions of years, because the new creation is slowly gathering knowledge which must be learned step by step. Never can a life form jump ahead in development, but must always learn everything through the slow process of experience. This is a fact that rules all life forms. You might say it is one of the first laws of creation. Once the new creational spirit has reached this level of development, it receives a helping hand from the original creation in the form of a special energy called the This is the first and primary spiritual force of the original creation, and it is responsible for creating timelessness. The is a highly evolved spiritual force that is also capable of creating other spirit forms. In this case, it provides the new creation with the ability to think in a more rational manner. It also provides feelings, understanding, sense and reason, and the idea of life. The forming of the new material universe. The new creation now uses its new thinking and reasoning abilities to create space and time, two factors which begin to form the matrix of the coming material universe. First, the new creation begins to create belts of energy which separate space and time into seven different layers, or bands, of spiritual energy. In appearance, this would look something like a tree trunk. The center of the new creation contains the highest evolution of energy and is labeled the Absolutum. The second band is a slightly lower evolution of energy and is not as bright. The third and fourth bands are diminishing in force of energy and will serve different purposes in the continuing development of the new material universe. The fifth band is most important, for here is where the material part of the universe will form. Zero lie in the fifth band will there be stars, planets, and material life forms. All of the other bands are different forms of spiritual energy that play a part in the development of the material band and will always be of a spiritual nature, not containing material matter. It is the purpose of the new creation to develop the material band as part of its continuing evolution.